Now, please turn in your Bibles back to page 1040. This is the letter of Paul to Christians in Ephesus, chapter 4, as we read this chapter a little earlier. And in verse 15, we have the motto text that we're going to take for this year, speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. So we have a fridge magnet with the text on it, grow up into Christ, speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in every way into him who is the head, even Christ. I think most homes these days have a fridge, and most homes only have one. So that means one free fridge magnet per family. There are also one or two other items, because we really want to try to get this into our kind of bloodstream and into our minds. So when you're having a cup of coffee or tea each day, now this isn't given away free. You can buy one of these, and there's a sign-up sheet on the table out there, and you can sign up for a mug here if you would like. Also, on a daily basis, most of us these days have PCs or laptops, and here is a brand new mouse pad for 2015. So there we are. You can have that as well. There's also a calendar out there that's available. So it'd be good to try to memorize this text, and it would be good to memorize it also in its context. And we can perhaps set each other a little challenge of trying to memorize even the whole of the chapter of Ephesians chapter 4. That would be a good thing to do, wouldn't it? And we can maybe test each other out on that, so we can see where it comes in the context. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Now, growth is natural, isn't it? And it's a worrying thing if it doesn't happen. Parents want to know that their children are growing. Gardeners want their plants to grow. On our church holiday in October, we were doing a kind of spiritual health check. We were asking, are we growing spiritually? And the first Sunday of a new year is a good time to ask the question again, isn't it? Are we healthy? Are we moving on? Are we changing? Gaius was a friend of the Apostle John. He wasn't a well man physically, but spiritually he was really fit. He was growing. In a letter to him at the end of the New Testament, John wishes for Gaius that he could be as well in his body as he is in his soul. But if your spiritual health today was to be reflected in the state of your body, what would you be looking like in church this morning? Would you be looking a bit pale and sickly? Would you be leaning on two sticks or a Zimmer? Would you be in pain? Maybe you'd be in a wheelchair, on a stretcher. Maybe you wouldn't be here because you'd be in a coma or a kind of permanent vegetative state. Is that where we are spiritually? To a sick person, well, health is attractive, isn't it? Appetite, vitality, freedom from pain, ease of movement, they're wonderfully attractive things. So I think spiritual growth should attract us. It's somewhere we should want to be. We should want it to be happening to us. Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. Now, in this text, we have two things, essentially. We have a target for growth, and we have a tactic to achieve growth. And I want just to look with you at these two things. So firstly, then, the target for growth. Businesses and economies have growth targets. And the Christian's growth target is to grow up into Christ. And in the context, Paul has been saying that Christian maturity is every Christian's target, not just for some, but for all. He wants us all to come to a place which in verse 13 he calls the unity of the faith. He wants us to grow in our knowledge of Jesus. That was Paul's own ambition. We've just been singing about it, haven't we? That we should know more of Jesus. You'd think as if ever there was a man who knew Christ well, then it was the Apostle Paul. And yet his greatest longing was to know Jesus better, to know more of him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. He would put everything else in the rubbish bin. If only he could know Jesus better, to have, as he put it, the mind of Christ, to be more like Jesus. And that really is our growth target, isn't it, in all its simplicity, that we might be more like Christ. There is a state of Christian living and Christian being which can be described as mature. In verse 13, you'll notice Paul uses the word perfect. We all come to a perfect man, he says, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, he's definitely not saying that Christians here in this life can achieve a state of sinless perfection. He's not saying that. Nor is he saying that we can get to a point where we are right in all our opinions and in all our views. No, it's not about us being right. It's about Christ being right. He's the one who's right, and us growing in our relationship with him and in our likeness to Christ. It's about our Christian lives achieving a kind of maturity, a kind of stature in which we belong to Jesus Christ and he belongs to us, and that's obvious. Everyone can see that we belong to Jesus and Jesus belongs to us. Just as in life there's a difference between a child, being a child, and being a grown-up, so it is spiritually. But spiritual maturity isn't necessarily about age. You can have an old Christian or someone who's been a Christian for a long time who is still spiritually quite immature. You can have a new Christian who grows into maturity very quickly. The thing about children that Paul highlights in this passage is that they're kind of impressionable, they're impulsive, they're easily influenced. Children are like that, aren't they? They take up with things quickly, but then they soon get bored and they lose interest. They're a bit fickle. They're also a bit vulnerable. The reason parents don't let children go out on their own and teach them not to talk to strangers is they know they're vulnerable. So if a stranger offers sweets or money or a ride on a motorbike or whatever it is, and if doing that thing appeals to the child at that particular time, well, that child is in immediate danger. The thing about being a child is that you lack awareness. You don't have the kind of discernment that you need. You are easily influenced. And Paul pictures spiritual immaturity like that. It's like being blown about by, like a leaf is blown about by the prevailing gusts of wind. Now, as believers too, we have to learn to say no to strangers. Satan, in the Garden of Eden, speaking through the serpent, was actually the archetypal stranger, wasn't he? Luring Eve and Adam to go with him with murderous intent, with devastating consequences. And he's been at work ever since trying to trick us. And Paul calls this in verse 14 the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. And Satan has his agents in the world, false teachers, false teachings, false emphases that he sends into the world and into the church. And these things are often, like Satan himself, subtle. Subtle. Not easy to spot. They masquerade as being sound and authentic and orthodox and even spiritually powerful. And the immature Christians, the impressionable ones, are easily blown about by teaching which might seem to be close to the gospel, but which isn't actually the gospel. And there are many winds and cross currents in the professing church of Jesus today. And how can you be protected from them? Well, by growing up into Christ, by setting as your target the knowledge of Jesus, by testing every new teaching, every new emphasis you come across, by asking the question, where is this taking me? Where am I going with this? Is it to Jesus? Is it to glorify Jesus, or is it away from him? Is it safe biblically, or is it not? And as we shall see in a moment, is it true, or is it a lie? Christian maturity is shown when Christians commit themselves to the truth and to one another in church fellowship, when we stick with the ministries that we've begun, when we stick with the people who we're in fellowship with, when we don't allow secondary things to divide us, when we're not easily impressed or blown off course by new fads or fashions or teachings or personalities. It's not necessarily a sign of spiritual health to embrace change quickly. We need always to ask the question, is this leading us towards growth in Christ? Is it actually about me? Is it about my position? My spirituality? People looking at me, showing how wise or spiritual or discerning a person I am? Or is it about Christ? Christ himself, and growing in relationship with him and growing with others in him. So I think it's very simple, isn't it? Our target of growth is Jesus himself, and knowing him and being in relationship and in deeper and closer relationship with him. Before we move from the target of growth, to the tactic of growth, I want to just notice two more things about the target. And the first is that it's comprehensive. Paul says, in all things in our text. He says, speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things, in every way, into him who is the head. We are to aim for growth in every department of our lives. You see, we do have a tendency, don't we, as human beings, to have kind of no-go areas. We tend to say, I can't do that, I can't get involved in this, or that's not my gift. But Christian maturity is actually yielding every area of our hearts and lives to the Lordship of Christ. It's saying, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. If Christ gives me something to do, then I can do it. He will give me the strength to do it. It's trusting him for it. It's being willing to serve in all things and under all circumstances. It's not to opt out. It's not to make excuses because of problems and hardships and deficiency. It's very comprehensive, isn't it? There's a comprehensive target that I may grow up into Christ in every way in my life, in all things. And then the second thing to notice about the target is that it is communal. It's communal. So in our text, Jesus Christ is called the head. And we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Now, a head always presupposes a body. And Jesus is the head of his body, which is the church. So we can learn from that straight away that if you're going to grow up into Christ, you're not going to be doing it on your own, are you? You can't grow up into Christ just by yourself as an independent agent in a dismembered kind of a way. The whole passage is actually about community. It tells us where the ascended Jesus now is. He's on high. He's in heaven. In fact, he's far above all the heavens. And it tells us how he gives gifts to his church. And the emphasis in that list of gifts is very much on teaching. Teaching gifts in verse 11. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. So that the saints can be equipped. So that the body can be edified for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. Every Christian is to see himself, herself, as part of the body of God's people, growing up in relationship with others and in cooperation with other Christians. In verse 16, Paul says, every part does its share. He's talking about the effective working of the body. He's talking about growth in the body. So if you and I are to grow up as Christians, if we're to mature, if we're to achieve Christian stature, it must be, there is no other way, it must be by serving Jesus and serving one another in his church. Each of us finding our role, each of us building one another up in love. The body is joined and it's knit together as any body is, so that a member acting on its own becomes grotesque, not real. If you're trying to go it alone as a Christian, then you're not going it in New Testament terms, not at all. You're nowhere near it, and you're not going to grow, because you need to grow within the company of the people of God. You need to grow in the body and part of the body. And you will grow as you serve and function in the body of Christ. So our target is growing up into Christ, serving him in every way and in every area of our lives. And it is a communal life, finding our place in the body of God's people and growing with others. So it's growing to Jesus, it's growing comprehensively in every way, and it is growing in community, in a body of God's people. Now let's think now of the tactic, because Paul highlights one specific tactic for growth. How are we to grow up into every way, in every way into Christ? By speaking the truth in love. That's how we're to do it. That's to be our tactic. There's rather a rather ugly tendency in our English language today to turn nouns into verbs. So the word diary, for example, is a perfectly nice noun. But then people will go and try to make it a verb and talk about diarizing things. I think it's quite a modern development, really, but I mustn't bang on about it. But then there's the word transition, and people talk about transitioning. And it's horrible, isn't it? We haven't yet done it with truth. We haven't done it with the word truth. We don't normally talk about truthing, do we? I tried to put it in my computer, and the spell check kept changing it to truthing. So I had to keep coming back and say, no, not an O, a U, truthing. But actually, in the Greek here, that is actually the force of it. It's the force of what the Apostle Paul is saying. He's saying that we must truth in love. It's almost as if he turns the noun into a verb. We must truth in love. Later in the chapter, in verse 25, he tells us that lying must be put away by every Christian. Now, lying may have been a habit in our lives, or a ploy, or even a last resort, But now, says Paul, as Christians, let every one of you speak truth with his neighbor. That's in verse 25. But it looks to me, you know, in the context, in the immediate context here, that Paul has more in mind the truth of Christian doctrine itself, God's truth, the truth of God's word, the truth of his own redemptive work. He's just been referring, hasn't he, to people being tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of teaching, wind of doctrine. There's this emphasis throughout the passage on teaching. The gifts that have been listed are teaching gifts. So our main tactic for growing up into Christ is to keep on sharing God's truth between us and among us, and individually for us to keep close to the truth, to stay with the revelation that God has given to us. And in this, I can't overemphasize the importance of the Bible. If you want to grow spiritually, then your tactic must be to do truth. Your tactic must be to read the Bible. It must be to study the Bible. It must be to know the Bible. Now, there's something for you to set yourself this year, 2015, that you might know better the Bible, not just in a general way, but also in a specific way, that you might know specifically what the Bible teaches. You're not going to grow. You're not going to be equipped as a Christian unless you know your Bible. You want to know what the Bible teaches about the gospel. Don't you? What it teaches about justification, what it says about heaven and hell, what it says about a new heaven and a new earth, what it says about creation, what it says about marriage, about sex before marriage or outside monogamous heterosexual marriage. You wanted to know what the Bible says about these things and what the Bible says about the sanctity of life and so on. The reason why people are blown about, the reason why people are like children, is because they go by what feels right. People in our culture have gone all touchy-feely, haven't we? We go by what it feels like. We go by what other people are doing. We go by what other people are saying. We go by what the culture is saying. But Paul says, no, if you want to grow, then you've got to do truth. You've got to know the truth. The truth will set you free. The truth will show you the way. Are you doing truth in your life? When you talk to yourself, we all do that. When you talk to yourself about a situation in your life, are you truthing? Are you truthing? Are you making it up as you go along? Are you doing it according to what you want? Are you doing a Frank Sinatra on it? I did it my way. When you give advice to others, are you giving them truth? When you receive advice from others, are you receiving truth? You'll never grow up into Christ in all things unless you are truthing. It must be your conscious tactic. Submit all your thinking and all your living to the truth as it is in Jesus. As Spurgeon would have said, you need to have bibline blood. Or to use another bit of alliteration, you need Bible-biased brains. And then you'll grow. Then you will grow. And you will become mature that way, that way. But although truth comes first in what Paul says, it's not on its own notice. He says, speaking the truth in love. Truth on its own can be harsh, and it can be applied in a judgmental or an unloving kind of a way. I guess, and I don't want to be biased, but I guess the military is a place where you tend to get truth kind of barked at you. There's lots of truth. If you're a soldier in the military, you get lots of truth. I'm not saying there's no love in the military. I think when soldiers have been through something really tough together, then there's a very special kind of comradeship, isn't there, which is pretty close to love, real commitment to each other. But the church, you see, isn't a military machine. The church isn't about barking orders. Things have to be done in love. Things have to be done with compassion, with deep spiritual concern for people, with concern for their spiritual health. Let all your things, says Paul in another of his letters, let all your things be done in love. Let love be the hallmark. Think of the way Jesus taught. Think of the way Jesus brought truth. It was sometimes uncomfortable, wasn't it? It was always challenging. It was always true. He said, I am the truth. But it was also always in love. Everything that Jesus said was in love. He knew how to speak the truth in love. And Paul says we should be like that. We should have an utter commitment to the truth. We shouldn't waver on the truth. We shouldn't try to tone down the truth. But as we speak truth, and when we speak truth, we must always speak it in love. And the way to be like that is, of course, to abide in Christ, as he taught us in the allegory of the vine, didn't he? That we should abide, we should draw our life from him, our example from him, our love from him. And then, again, as Paul says in another place, in understanding, we will be grown up. We'll be grown up in our understanding when we speak the truth in love. That's the tactic for growth. In John 17, we have the prayer that Jesus prayed to his Father before leaving his disciples. And in that prayer, he desires that his disciples might grow and might be kept from the evil one. Father, he prays, sanctify them. That's a change word, isn't it? That's a kind of improvement word. Father, sanctify. How are you going to sanctify them, Father? By your truth. Your word is truth. That's how we are to change. That's how we're to grow. It's by the word that we are sanctified and we're changed and we grow up into Christ. And when we have the mind of Christ, we do as he did and we speak the truth in love. So that's our prayer, isn't it? And our desire for this new year, that we should have this target. Simple target, clear target, that we should grow up in all things into Christ, who is the head of his body, the church, and who is our heads. And by so doing, that we should achieve a kind of spiritual maturity that we have not experienced before, which can be described as the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Let that be your target for 2015. And let speaking the truth in love be your practical way of achieving it. That you might do truth and that you might do it with love. And as you do that, you'll find that you will grow. You'll definitely grow. That's the way to grow. That's the tactic that you must use. May God bless us all with this desire to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.